This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
You hear me say it a lot, and I'll continue to, because 2017 ain't over. 2017 has been the year of Spiegel revelations, some old, some new, and there was one about a little bit of me time gone awry that you'll hear coming up that we'll use a lot of hyperbole here sometimes. Oh man, I'm done. We got to go home, put the show into best of. I'm not kidding. I was laughing so hard, and this hit me in the chest so much that I wanted to go home at 8, because I'm like, how do we top that? How do we move on from that? Listeners loved it.
Yeah, just continue.
And I'm not even going to recap the story. The story is so beautifully self-contained coming up. But you said something off air that just for a minute or so I wanted to dig into.
Yeah.
You said you didn't know if you wanted to tell the second half of the story because it might affect your reputation.
Well, I just thought that, you know, people hear something and then they just run with it. And
you think the SPCA was going to call?
Yeah, like
you'll lose the dog.
Yeah, dog services would seize Farfel.
You hear what they're feeding that thing over there?
Not a diet for a dog.
It's just a regular pattern of paranoia on my part.
Yeah, rather be paranoid and wrong than calm. And right. I think the dog needs to worry about his reputation, okay? Because the dog was the one that had what happened at the end.
He's the one that should be embarrassed.
If I'm you, I don't want to pick up Farfel for about a week. You make him re-earn your love. Listen now, it was just one of the moments of the year. This is top 10. Josh Spiegel's Me Time Mishap on Behind the Curtain.
Pass the Kleenex.
Spiegel.
Oh, dear.
I'm just going to read what's on the schedule.
Okay.
Joe and I are flying blind here. I believe Mike knows. We don't. But it says here, Spiegel's Me Time Mishap.
Woo!
Very, very succinct. Very succinct and accurate.
Now, before we continue with this break, people please need to know ahead of time before we get into this that Spiegel is legally required by a doctor to do this to himself. It is not a pleasurable thing. It is something that he needs to do to cleanse his body, to evacuate, I believe, so he does not clog himself.
Yeah.
It's nothing that a perverted man does, a flesh peddler.
Yeah, back in college, my doctor actually prescribed my I need to do this to myself because of I had a condition called prosthetic congestion. I literally got backed up.
His junk was the size of a medicine ball. It was gross.
Sorry you went through that, Josh.
At that point in your life, how long were you waiting between episodes?
I didn't think I was waiting too long, but apparently
every winter solstice.
Yeah. Like a week?
Oh, you know, I can't think that's a long time ago, but probably a couple weeks. You know, I was living in a dorm, so
good
you can't
Lord.
Really...
Yeah, you need privacy.
Oh, you find a way.
Yeah, there's a will, there's a way. There's a balcony.
What did you do, like, just during, like, after you brushed your teeth? Was it a regular? Did you schedule it?
Well, I didn't schedule it. But
brush your teeth?
You mean after the doctor?
After the doctor.
Oh, whenever I felt the urge, I would do it. I knew I had to do it, or else I would get sick.
Would you use collateral, or was there, would you use memory?
Yeah, I just use my imagination.
All right, Encyclopedia Britannica, and he'd flip to love.
Well, as you know, I, about 2 weeks ago, started having a terrible pain in my arm and my hand.
Your right arm.
That's right. And I went to the doctor and was diagnosed with carpal tunnel syndrome.
Oh, God.
I'd heard.
Where were you when Josh was diagnosed?
I was given a hand splint, which I wear every night, and I've been taking some medicine to try to relieve the pain.
Oh, the pain.
And yesterday I felt the urge to treat myself medically.
Penis.
And
Anything in particular prompt that?
No.
I take a guess? No, I think it did.
Was it Farfel sweater?
The pumpkin bread. It was pumpkin
yes,
bread.
Yes, it was food.
Yes.
God,
look at that loaf.
Without getting too specific, I got really into it. And okay, it was pretty good experience.
Wow,
must say
yeah.
that
when it comes down to Josh.
Say yeah.
And as I was, you know, as it continued on, I felt my arm really hurting. I mean, it was really a lot of pain.
Wow.
But I didn't want to stop.
But you fought through it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm a trooper.
You're a hero is what you are. A guiding light in a dark like world.
And because if I had stopped, the whole condition would have flared up.
You would have tripped to the hospital. And your stuff would have exploded like a water balloon that you filled too much.
And left is not an option.
Oh,
No.
I didn't think of that.
Like, if you're going to fill out a job application, are you going to use your opposite hand? No,
no, I can't do that either. I just, some people are ambidextrous. That's
I'll have to keep that in mind.
Let's all try today and report back tomorrow. Guys, 12:30 today, we all try left arm.
I'll tell you, quick tangent here. I'm actually a lefty. I write with my right hand, I throw with my right hand, but I do that with my left because, you know, I came up during the advent of the internet and you needed to use a mouse.
Oh. You didn't go crisscross?
So I learned
criss-cross
how to
applesauce?
Use my left hand.
I'd be like, how do you not do this
so
right here?
Weird.
Are you flipping how do you not do
through,
that?
Flipping through videos?
Well, why not just switch?
What, that? Like that?
Within a couple weeks. You're
hold on. Don't you just hit play or are you fast forwarding to the place you want? Like, you know,
well,
the story's playing
time,
and you need to.
I like to fast forward through all the sex and get to the kissing. I got to get the kissing.
But I mean, I'm young and I'm at home with my parents, so I need to be able to get to that, be able to close that window out with the quickness. So I need to have my right hand. I need my trigger finger on the mouse.
Okay.
Man. Learning a lot.
So
wow, that's horrifying. Okay, so anyways, back to Josh's arm having lightning streaking through it.
So my arm is, the pain is throbbing at this point.
Hey, the only thing.
And finally, you know,
you get to the end.
The event ceases. And I just am in horrible pain. My entire right arm is just...
Was it worth it?
I have to say it was worth it. It definitely was worth it.
I just imagine you looking like someone like getting out of a car accident. You're holding your left arm.
Were
you're
you
just,
yelling at all?
You mean from the pain?
Yeah.
No. It was just really, I mean, it still hurts.
You're saying that it subsided, didn't it?
No,
it hurts today.
No, it's still, the pain is still there. And I've taken medicine and everything. I wore the splint last night. And,
you know, the irony is that you put yourself through this agony in order to feel as good as you can feel.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
It's medical.
Yeah.
Not sexual. It is a medical procedure with him.
No.
Does it feel like it's getting better?
No. No, it doesn't.
It feels the same.
It'll probably cool off later today. But there was one other thing that...
Oh, no.
That kind of traumatized me after I threw the... I don't even know if I should go into this.
Well, at this point.
I mean, we've already walked this far down the path. I mean, we're so deep into the tunnel at this point, I can't see light at either end. Hey, while you think whether or not you should do that, Mike, I have pulled up a picture on screen, something I want to get him for Christmas.
Oh, okay. I would love that, too.
How much would that be fun? Huh? Look at that. Look at that right there. Okay, Josh, I'm going to show you something.
Okay.
Okay, just brace yourself.
What does that cost?
It's not cheap, but I think it's worth it if it helps her boy out. In China, Chinerson, there's sperm banks in every country. Okay, the good ones, anyways. And you know, you gotta produce. However, well, in China, they don't want you contaminating anything, so they have developed something known as the hands-free automatic sperm extractor.
Oh,
and there it is, right there. Look at that.
Oh, wow.
Uh huh. Brother, if I can get one of them sons of bitches shipped stateside, I'll throw my credit card at them.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
I just get first crack at it.
Between a BB-8 and what you pay to get your Christmas lights put on?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be probably around a Nissan Maxima, something like this. Yes, and it's just a medical device that does the things that need to be done, not in a sexual manner. Mike, tell me you and I don't crack open a case.
You would definitely use that, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
100% I'd
in front
that.
Of my family. I'll be in there in a second, guys. Oh, God.
meatloaf gets cold, just put it in the oven. Woo!
So, please.
Okay, I just want to preface this by saying it was an accident, you know, and I've learned a lesson from this.
I'm about to throw up into the trash can, I know.
the clump of tissue.
Oh, God.
That he pads his head off with afterwards.
That's
because
right.
He's sweaty.
I thought he used paper towels.
No, it's too rough.
No, no. He uses a sheet of silk. He uses a pocket square.
I have no idea where this is going.
Josh uses a slice of focaccia.
A
palm frond.
I just tossed it on the floor. And went to the bathroom.
Oh, no.
Came out of the bathroom.
Oh, no.
No.
You
didn't. No. 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 No.
And I see pieces of tissue all over the floor. My dog had ripped apart the tissue, and I immediately screamed,
no, Farfo, no!
And I nearly dive onto the floor to collect the tissue debris and get him away from it.
Oh, God!
Put it down!
It was only a few seconds, so he didn't get to do anything, but he ripped it apart. That was all he did.
Oh, well.
I don't know if I can go on.
Yeah. I had a couple things I was going to say that I decided not to.
Thank you. I want to broadcast tomorrow. Josh Spiegel.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So, one hell of a way to start off the week. Joe Robinson joined us all week long, coming back in on a Saturday because he's that dedicated to the cause. And you had a panic attack on, I believe it was last Saturday, actually 1 week ago, when it just, I guess, the weight of the world built up on you.
Oh, I'm so glad we're reliving this.
Yes, let's rehash it and let's continue to.
I mean, this is something I never wanted to revisit again in my life.
Well, we're going
to
keep bringing it up every time you're on. The time that you had a panic attack so bad in a bowling alley, we had to call the EMTs and you saw Jesus. First and foremost, 1 week later, how are you feeling?
I feel, you know what? I was off for about 3 days, even when I was on the air.
Oh, you
here.
Couldn't tell.
No, I was definitely off. But you know that, I don't remember if I mentioned this on the broadcast, but I had to do the Ravens. I had to go to, I had to go to Crossbar, and I had to go find people in the, you know, in the crowd that were willing to come on the air, and then I had to try to make them interesting, which, by the way, they're not.
Never.
But I had to do that, and I wasn't very good at that, and then I came in here, and I kind of ramped up, and then now here I am at my apex again.
So have you seen a specialist, a doctor, or anything? Because I know that night, I'm not sure if we got into this in the break coming up, you'll hear all the specifics. You didn't have to go to a hospital or spend an overnight. They sort of just cleared you, said, you're okay, get some sleep, drink some water, wake up, tomorrow's a new day. But like, do you have to go in for a follow-up to make
sure
this doesn't
happen
again?
Yeah, didn't go in for anything. You know, they took my vitals and I was perfect. So as a result, I'm like, well, I'm not
gonna... Your body just failed you.
It just let me down. And what I did was I had to sign a, you know, they called 911, right? Because I told them I was dying. So that's not their fault. Girlfriend Katie called 911 because I said, hey, I'm dying. Do you want to save me or not? So she called 911. They come, but then I have to sign to say, hey, remember when I said I was dying? Well, don't worry about it. You can go home now.
False alarm, not dying.
So as a result, I was like, all right, well, now I don't have to go. Once I signed, I was no longer obligated to try to make myself better.
Can we get into your vision of God? And did you kind of leave your body and were you in a different place at that
point? I was going up, thank God.
Thank God.
I was
you didn't
going
feel
up.
Any heat?
I was
no
going
warmth.
Up. which is my biggest concern. I was definitely on my way up.
Were you out of body? Were you looking down at yourself?
No, I was looking up, and I could see heaven. I always thought it was a bright light. I saw clouds around. It was almost like a circle.
Here, it looks like San Diego.
So it was headed up through whatever gate you go through in order to enter the kingdom of God.
Were
That's
you
where
calm
I was headed.
Or were you freaking out?
Because no, I was not calm.
Well, you know, you hear these stories of people like, I was calm and I felt so soothed that I had no worry, because I want that experience. When I die, I don't want your experience, which sounds like you're freaking out the whole time screaming on your way to Christ.
Yeah, no, I wasn't calm, you know. Thank God. I'm sure in the day of technology, there's probably a video of it, which you know, I hope is never released onto the web.
So, I mean, did it change your religious perspective on things?
Well, you know, I've always, you know, I have a theology, and it hasn't changed.
Wiccan.
But it doesn't mean that, you know, you live appropriately, right, to the tenets of whatever your beliefs are. So, I mean, I hope maybe I'll live a little bit better life. That's my hope. But other than that, not too many. You're not too many changes. I made it. It ended up I'm okay. So
you're gonna cut out all bowling from now on. Can you go bowling again? Can we take you back there?
I don't know. I mean, maybe you're right. I'll have some sort of what do you call it?
A little flashback.
Flashback. That's it. Yeah. Flashback.
All right. Well, stick around. Coming up, we're gonna take Joe bowling next week and see if we can re-trigger him into a panic attack where he sees God and screams the whole way up. On Behind the Curtain. About my weekend. Somehow Joe's was worse.
Man, I'll try to make this not as terrifying and as life-changing as it was.
Just to set mine up, I tased my own car, slept in a parking garage with my brother, and woke up reeking of vomit before we paid $400 for a low-rent hotel just to get bit by bed bugs and not be stabbed in aforementioned parking garage. It somehow... yours was worse. There's a photo, by the way, at JSS98 Rock of your weekend.
I have no history of psychosis. I don't.
Welcome.
Meaning, I would tell you if I was on some sort of anxiety medication or anything. I'm not. I'm on none of that. And I had my birthday party. Shout out to the beautiful Katie who made... She's... What a great... we were going bowling. And I think there was about 16 of us. Justin was there. Mike didn't show up. I'm sure Josh never opened the email. It doesn't matter.
I never got an email.
These people, I'll need to talk to girlfriend Katie if she left
was it
you
on
off
Facebook
the list.
Or?
No.
I want to make it clear. I have a fan page on Facebook.
All right.
And if anybody sends me, I don't get them on there. But I didn't get.
Well, listen, we're going again. So you'll get that invite the
There's
next time.
It's going to be a make good.
Oh.
You're probably better off not having experienced what we all did, which was watch all a man right. walk right up to the gates of hell.
So I had a panic attack. Have you, any of you guys ever had that, Mike? I look at you. You seem like the most likely to have had one.
Yeah, I had to pull over on 95 one time because I thought I was going to pass out. But But after hearing yours, I don't think it was half as bad.
Yeah, see, here's the thing, and I'm glad you asked that question of Mike. We've claimed, and a lot of people claim, we're living in a generation. There's never been a generation ever that has celebrated their own mental unwellness
like
this.
Right.
I'll have
There's
a panic
to be
attack.
Shame in this,
yes,
right?
Yeah, like, I've never met a generation that's just so excited to have their eggs completely scrambled inside of their brain. Everyone just loves bragging about their panic attacks and how screwed up they are and their bipolar this and ADD that, whatever. I've never seen it worn like, not just not being ashamed of it, but like some sort of weird badge of honor. You, though, you had a real deal, holy God panic attack.
So I was...
I've never seen anything
like
this.
Sitting there, and things... I started feeling off. And now there's lights and music and things like that, and that might have, you know, obviously led to it a little bit. But... I started feeling more off, and then my brain started telling me, wait a minute, I thought I wasn't just in distress, I thought I was dying, I thought this was the end of my life, I thought, okay, well, this is what death feels like, and I fainted, but I started making peace with God. I literally was dying.
I mean,
I was calling out to, you know, like, oh God, I've wasted my life, and I'm calling out, I thought I was dying. So
in a bowling alley,
yes,
in Odenton,
with everybody I know around me, that's not great either. Right?
Were there any physical symptoms at this point, or just all mental?
So of course they called 911. They brought the paramedics in there, and they gave me the little thing where I follow the finger or whatever, and I was, you know, eventually able to do that. They
That's
took my vitals.
Game.
By the way, everything perfect. So I'm actually in pretty good shape, which is good to know. No, I thought I was having a heart attack. I thought I was having a stroke, but whatever it was, I thought, okay, this is it. My life is ending. But then they did. They came in. They gave me all the. They gave me a once over. There was literally nothing wrong with me, other than of course it ends up I'm nuts now.
But, yeah, the fact that you thought you saw God.
No,
he was
I did.
Coming for
my,
you.
Well, I know that clearly was in my head, what but I definitely mean? Saw. I spoke to God.
Whoa! And what did it tell us about?
Well,
that?
He was white. He was huge with a white with a white beard. Right. I mean, what God? You've seen pictures of him, right? You know what God looks like.
Okay, so your traditional
on a throne.
Image of God.
I've seen man's
there.
Depiction.
He had a crown. Yeah, right, he's God. Come on, you know what he looks like. But yeah, no, so, but I was on my way.
I want him to be a sassy old
thank
Asian
God, by
lady.
The way. Thank God, literally. I was going to heaven. I wasn't, you know what I mean? I wasn't begging not to go down. I was on my way up, so that was good.
Oh, yeah, thank God you didn't feel like warmth.
What did he say? Like, wow, yeah, it's hot in here.
Oh, God, I feel like I might have screwed this up.
But I definitely saw the like
Welcome
I saw the
hell.
I saw the gates of heaven. I was gone. I'm dead
oh.
serious. I swear no. When I came out, they tell you I thought I had died, and they brought me back.
Now I need to say that while he's going through this, all of his friends, myself included, are asshat comedians. So you're surrounded by the most unsympathetic group of jackwagons you possibly could. We're all like
pictures.
Look
We're
at
all.
Joe's. Yeah, go to our Twitter page. Everyone else is cackling and laughing, and Joe's. I mean, you look dead.
Joe
you
wants
do
to
look
die.
Like
That's
dead.
What I'm. Look and see. That.
You're now, so gray. That girl in the back is so stoned. She's ripped out of her gourd. The other two are laughing their ass off. There's two guys off camera. You can't see Tommy and Eric, who are literally divvying up your stuff. Like all your belongings, they're going through as to what they get when you're dead.
See that guy from the fire department? You know what he has there? You know what he has in front of him?
It's like a laptop or something?
That's me signing away that it's okay for him to leave. Meaning I had to tell him. I had to not. This was me saying I release myself, you from responsibility. I'm saying go away.
Was there? I thought I overheard, and maybe my mind just willed this. Did you sign like an organ donor thing? I thought I heard somebody say Joe signed away his organs. Because we were being like, I get dibs on his lungs.
That was everybody
Tommy
else
called your kidney.
In the bowling alley, like looking over, like, what's going on?
Well, we luckily, this was the very last lane.
Oh, there's a whole family next to us. There's a whole
bunch. He's whisking them away.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, is this is the rockin' bowl. So they turn the lights out, and they turn up like this fun strobe, and there's rock music playing, and there's music videos. It's more of like a upbeat arcade kind of bowling alley, but because Joe is at death's door and he thinks his heart's going to stop at any moment, they have to turn the lights up and ruin everyone else's bowling shot.
Yeah.
Everyone's staring over
Boo!
At you. Yeah, you suck!
Loser.
And there is a huge set of balloons over your head with the age 49.
Yeah, 49.
Right above you. So the most
didn't make it to 50.
Ironically sinister part of this was that your friend, and I won't say her name, the EMT's there, goes, what's your date of birth? And she goes, today! And starts to cry. Because it's your birthday. You're going to die on your own birthday.
Yeah. It would have been sad to not make it a 50. What's weird is that I wasn't in the right headspace to figure out, wait a minute, there's no symptoms. You understand what I'm saying? I had nothing. I didn't feel in pain. It was literally only anxiety that was killing me.
I've had some embarrassing moments in bars, but having EMTs called to the scene, that's...
Oh, no, no, that's not my proudest moment.
I'm just thinking to myself, like, if I'm sitting there and everyone's, like I said, staring over like they should.
Well, it's not like you think anybody's mentioning it when I'm not around. So, yeah, it's not my proudest moment.
And I love Tommy. Tommy's a friend of ours, Tommy Sambazo and Eric Woodworth, good friends. And they're in line. And it's a very long line on a Friday waiting to get their bowling shoes. I got mine first. I go over. I'm immediately stopped by one of your friends saying, Joe is freaking out right now. There's EMTs. This is bad. We're not bowling. So I go back over to Eric and Tommy who are in line. I'm like, guys, we got to go. Hop out. Something's happening with Joe. Tommy's pissed. He's got to get out of line. He's like, I've been waiting here for like 10 minutes. I want to get my shoes. I'm like, Joe's about to die. but
I married it. That was it. Was a. But I think I'm okay. What should I do? You know what I'm gonna do? Nothing.
There's nothing you can do. It's like you didn't take too much medicine by accident. You didn't. You just had your brain failed you. This could happen again at any point.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, how profoundly affected are you from?
It's weird that you say
God.
That. It is weird because
I just tased my own
I am
Honda.
Changed. I'm not
God.
Kidding. I am right. I mean, you know, you think about the theology of it. You know, do I have to live my life differently? Now here I am talking about the same crap that I was before. Maybe I'm not changed at all.
Someone has a theory. Do you think the strobes caused it?
You know, there's a possibility of that. You know, that it may have been.
Like, we didn't even order our first pitcher of beer.
No.
No one had even gotten a drink yet. Now, he did leave at some point, and we just all looked over and like, well, there's a cake. And
yeah.
Like, five of us just dove into
the cake.
You guys
bowled, right? You went
ahead. We all took turns. Every
How'd
time,
you do?
I got an 89. And we all bowled for you. We all took turns bowling your frame and dedicated every bowling of that frame to you. You were about middle of the road. About middle of the road. Okay. And the girl that would burst out into tears every 6 minutes going, Joe's dead.
Yeah.
Bowled a 189. Killed it.
She
won
she
the whole
did.
Yeah, 100%. Murdered.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott, Spiegel, Mike Anderson, and Joe Robinson in. And coming up, you're going to hear an interview with the director, Guillermo del Toro. He did an interview with us about his new film, The Shape of Water. And you guys couldn't see me squirm and begin to giggle. Maybe you did if you watched Livewire. In the middle of the interview, I asked him about a video game that he's involved in. He tried to make what was going to be one of the scariest video games of all time called Silent Hills. The company behind it pulled out all their financing, a company called Konami. It's a two-hour-long story I won't bore you with, but he was on his way to making one of the most terrifying games of all time, and they pulled it out from under him. There's a trailer for the game that you could actually play available on the PlayStation 4 that they also pulled to try and erase all existence of it. And if you have a PlayStation with it on it, it actually increases the value of that system. And I've got one.
What's
and it's
the name of it?
It's called, the name of the demo is called PT, Playable Trailer, but it was going to be for a game called Silent Hills.
Okay, got it.
And it is the scariest mother effing thing
you've
ever seen.
It
never came out.
It exists in like a beta or something like that?
They never finished the game. They pulled all of the support for it. This is what a genius Guillermo del Toro is. He was working on this game and he worked on this trailer. The trailer, and you're going to be like, how is this scary? The trailer involves you walking down one hallway and making a left into another hallway. That's literally it. And when I tell you, it's the scariest effing thing you've ever seen with the stuff on the windows in this hallway. And every time you walk to the end of the hallway, it starts you back over in this other new, slightly more macabre and rotten version of this hallway. The man is a genius. And the reason I say you saw me maybe shake and giggling was because in this interview with him, he dropped some exclusive stuff about this game that people have been wanting to know for years. You saw me walk right up to Mike afterwards and say, Mike's actually watching the game, that PT game. It's one of the scariest effing things you've ever seen.
I guess the sound is important, right?
It's a little bit. Yeah, you're going to want to watch some.
You know what's weird about this interview is I almost felt like I didn't want to try to say anything funny out of disrespect for somebody that I have such reverence for.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything.
I want to try to goof off with him when I heard you tell me that he wasn't involved in the new Pan's Labyrinth.
Or Pacific Rim.
That's what I meant, sorry. Pacific Rim. That bothered me. I wasn't upset with him, but you'll hear my question. And I really meant it. Like, God, I felt for him. And he had a pretty good explanation. Like, I can't do everything. But
and thank God, Josh, you asked that question coming up about some of your favorite directors, producers of his own.
The first
mother effer he says is the guy that Rick says made a garbage film this past year with Mad Max Fury Road. I had a level of vindication swell up inside of me. So, Josh, thank you for that gift. Thank you to Guillermo del Toro. Mike, how photorealistic does that PT game look.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching the video. It's almost like real live footage. It's hard to even tell that it's actual.
I'm telling you, if you guys want to come over to my place, we'll rip back a bunch of beers. We'll sit in a dark room and play this thing. And when I tell you, you'll make it through 20 minutes of it before you're like, turn the lights on, turn the game off, and let's watch My Little Pony.
You said it was never done, so it's an unfinished game?
It's an unfinished
game. You're just playing it, and then you just have to stop playing it?
Yeah, that's it. The demo will end the way a trailer will end.
Got it.
And that's it, and it stops. And it's so beautiful, and it's so scary. And if you try and access it now, it's impossible. You either download it and have it, or you don't, and you never will. And I got one, and I feel pretty proud of myself that I've got one of these things. So give a listen coming up now. We got to talk to Guillermo del Toro about The Shape of Water. All right, this is awesome. This is a treat. Michael, again, thank you so much for scoring this get. Joining us on the phone, I have been a fan of his since Pan's Labyrinth. I think Blade 2 is one of the best sequels ever made. I own every single NECA Line Toys Pacific Rim Jaegers. That's right, they're Jaegers, ain't robots. They're Jaegers. It's German for hunter. And he's got a new film I cannot wait to see. The man doesn't make bad projects. It is The Shape of Water, and it is the creator, the director, Guillermo del Toro. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
It's such a pleasure to talk to you. I cannot wait to see the new film. It's a beautiful fairy tale looking film. It's got one of my favorite actors in it. The man is just the definition of intensity. Michael Shannon, who he played Zod most recently in one of the Superman films. The guy is just,
yes,
he's got a big, strong, square jaw, intimidating guy. Talk to me about working with him, working with the cast of The Shape of Water, this modern day fairy tale.
Well, I wrote the movie for four of the main cast, you know, Michael Shannon, Sally Hawkins, Octavia Spencer, and Doug Jones, who has made many movies for me, six movies together we've made, performing in a very complicated suit / makeup effect with touches of digital effects. And I wrote it for them because I admire all of them. But Michael Shannon, who is terrific and terrifying, both in the antagonist role, is an actor of great intensity, but an incredibly precise actor. You know, I think that he is in many ways the engine of the conflict of the film, and the movie is a fairy tale for troubled times, I call it, and Michael is very much the big bad wolf, if you would.
When I watch trailers for movies, including the one for this film, I feel like I'm getting too much information, that it's revealing too much of the story. Do you feel the same way?
I feel the same way on certain, you know, there's always an escalation in trailers, you know. The first one is a teaser, barely tells you anything. Second one tells you a little more. And then there is the third one that takes you through the plot. The beauty of a movie like this is no matter how much you know, no matter how much you think you may expect, the movie takes you to very unexpected places. You can see everything. I can tell you what it's about with great detail, and still it's going to surprise you and transport you.
Again, we're joined by Guillermo del Toro, his new film, The Shape of Water, in theaters nationwide today. And Guillermo, another project that you're involved in that I can't wait for. I'm so excited. I am a big fan of a man named Hideo Kojima. He made the Metal Gear series,
yes,
and you're working alongside him for a video game called Death Stranding that a new trailer dropped last night at some video game awards. And this, yes, to me, I'm so glad you asked about trailers, Josh, because there's a new trailer that's like 8 minutes long. But you don't know anything at the end of 8 minutes. It's you're enticed by it. You see Norman Reedus is in it. You're in one of the trailers. You're actually in this video game. You're working with one of the greatest video game creators of all time in Kojima. And then they drop this thing, and I still don't know what it's about. What can you tell us about Death Stranding?
You know, very little, because Hideo has been a friend for more than a decade. But he keeps his cards very close to the chest. He explained to me that he intends to use the game to revolutionize the way we think about video games. And you can see merely by the scope and ambition of it that he's doing that. The new trailer depicts a very scary, very powerful world, and you get to sense the scale of the conflict. Literally, there are these entities that are 20, 25 stories high, and they are invisible, and they keep control over surviving humans in what we surmise is the future. But he never tells me nothing. He scans me, he makes me do expressions and all that, and then I'm a digital avatar in the game. I'm one of the characters, but you know, so is Matt Mikkelsen, so is Norman Reedus, and you know, and he doesn't tell us much. He just sort of stand there and scans us, and that's it. But the trailer is phenomenal.
You know, whenever I see a trailer of one of your movies, even before I see your name, I know it's you.
Mm-hmm.
I see the style of it. Reminds me a little bit of Wes Anderson, obviously not the same type of movie, mm-hmm. but as soon as I see what the movie looks like, your imprint is on it. And the one thing, and I love Pacific Rim, Pan's Labyrinth is one of my favorite movies of all time. Mm-hmm. I love it. I don't want to gush too much. But when I saw that what your involvement in the new Pacific Rim was, I wasn't disappointed that you weren't in it. I was disappointed for you because I knew that that whole idea and concept came from you. And I'm just wondering what the thought process was to kind of hand that over to somebody else.
Well, there was a little impasse in which I needed to wait 7 or 8 months to stay with the movie. I had been on the movie for a year, and I moved on and did The Shape of Water, which is a smaller but very personal, very moving project for me, very necessary. I call it a fairy tale for troubled times, which I think we are in, and it was incredibly emotional and personal to do. And I handed the reins to the production company, which is Legendary, and to a new director, Stephen DeKnight. And, you know, I remained, you know, I gave them the screenplay that I had developed, and that screenplay got also changed over time. But I feel, you know, I'm yet to see the finished movie. I'm a big fan of Stephen DeKnight, and I think he's a very different director than me. So the movie is very different, but I trust him, and I hope and that he takes it into a direction that that opens a new horizon for it. You know, I cannot do every movie I want. I've written 25 movies. I've done only 10. So, you know, a lot of them either move on to a different director or they don't get made.
Now, who is your favorite producer and director?
Alive right now?
Live, dead?
You know, alive right now, I think that I admire different things from different people. I admire the energy and the world creation of George Miller. I admire the staging and the elegance of Steven Spielberg. I admire more contemporary guys like Wes Anderson, Paul Thomas Anderson, the Coen brothers, you know, Marty Scorsese, Alejandro Iñárritu, Alfonso Cuarón, who are also great friends, the vision of Jim Cameron, and we can keep going. You know, I'm a big cinema fan.
And I'm glad you said George Miller, too, because I've gotten an actual, like, loud arguments with my boss here because I went to see Mad Max Fury Road twice in one day and he said he didn't like it and I didn't talk to him for 2 weeks. So thank you, Guillermo del Toro. The Shape of Water in theaters nationwide today. And before we let you go, can you clear up a quick rumor, a theory? Because again, I'm a huge Hellboy fan, Hellboy 1 and 2, that Doug Jones was in. He played Abe Sapien. And this creature in The Shape of Water resembles, but he's not, resembles Abe Sapien. These are two totally separate universes, correct?
Completely.
Gotcha. Okay.
We never thought they were connected at all.
One last quick question for you. We have, back to our terrible boss, Rick. We get into arguments, too, about 3D movies. And I'm wondering, when you go to a movie, will you go to the 3D version or you go to the 2D version?
Well, you know, I'm always curious when that tool is used creatively, when it is used as a part of the storytelling. I can tell you my preferred version of Pacific Rim was the IMAX 3D version of the movie, which was absolutely breathtaking. And we spent a year doing the 3D conversion. We didn't do it quick. We took almost a year. It was 45 or 46 weeks to do it very carefully. And I tell you, if you saw that movie, by any chance, IMAX 3D, it was amazing. I'm much more preferred than the 2D. Now, if you ask me about a realistic movie that is more grounded on everyday life, I'm not that interested in the 3D. But a great adventure, a great scope movie. I do like the 3D.
Guillermo del Toro, I cannot thank you enough for all the entertainment and joy and mystery and wonder you have brought to me throughout the years. Honestly, you do not have a bad film, all the way back from Mimic and all the way up to The Shape of Water. I've enjoyed everything that you've done, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today, sir.
Thank you very much, and I must say, yes, George Miller is great. And, you know, you can settle your argument.
Yeah, could you just say out loud, Rick Strauss, you're wrong about Mad Max.
Rick, you're very right about many things.
Wrong! Say wrong! Definitely say wrong about Mad Max. Thank you very much, Guillermo.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So I'm just going to come right out and say it, not dance around it verbally like I do sometimes. Josh got his hand stuck in his ass, and can I admit something that I did?
Okay.
You regaled us again. The year is coming to a close, and 2017 will forever be looked back at as the year of Spiegel revelations. Mike is even putting together, Mike, do you have any idea when those revelations are going to be sort of compiled and rebroadcast? I know we've chewed on a couple of ideas.
Well, I think what we're going to do, I talked to Lauer about this, is we'll kind of run down the list next week on the air and kind of reminisce. And then we're going to put up a landing page at 98online.com with all the video, all the audio, so you can, on your own time, kind of go back through and hit all the highlights. And they are some of the highlights of the year.
I can't wait. I mean, there's not a bad tale amongst them. And you were regaling us with this tale, how you were powdering, doing something clean, by the way, nothing untoward or perverse. You were trying to cleanse oneself, and you got out of the shower, and I believe it was the shower you just finished up?
No, I was not planning to shower.
You did this in lieu of a shower?
Yes, in lieu.
Gotcha. We used to call right guard shower in a can. Yeah. If you can't shower, just give yourself a couple of doses. And you were putting powder places, and your hand got wedged down in the crack of your own ass.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was so fascinated by it that later that day on Monday, I tried it.
Oh, my God.
And I tried to recreate the experiment. I've got the Gold Bond green bottle, the medicated stuff, which you don't want to have anywhere near the sheriff's badge. But I use it regardless. And I went down there. Now, you had pants or shorts on? Or were you bare?
I had dropped my shorts and dropped my underpants.
You were exposed.
Oh, I was exposed, baby.
Okay, see, that's where our paths separate, because I thought that you have, because I know you have an adversity to being nude, to where I thought you might have just gone in the pants.
No, because then you get powder all over the place.
Good point.
All over yourself. I mean, all, you know, your clothes. You don't want to get them all over your clothes.
I thought so, because we didn't clear that up in the break coming up here, but I took powder and I went down my own pants. And like you said, I'm getting powder everywhere. It's a total mess. But as I go to pull my hand out, my hand gets stuck in my own ass because I'm kind of caught between butt and belt.
Right.
But now I'm doubly intrigued that you still somehow got your own hand caught in yourself, with nothing but yourself prevented from leaving.
Oh, yeah. It had nothing to do with outside influences. It was simply skin on skin.
Oh, a Chinese butt trap.
So are you standing up while you're doing this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just trying to visualize this.
How did you imagine he puts powder on?
I thought maybe like laid down on the bathroom floor.
Like a baby having his diaper
changed?
Because
like you, I'll like pull my pants out and then pour it down, and that way the pants keep it from going all over the place. But if you're not wearing pants, or I don't understand how you get it in there.
Do you pat or do you rub?
It's more of a patting. It's more of a patting.
More of a, one of these like pat, 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 instead of, because I scoop and then I grind. Sort of like I'm seasoning a steak.
I don't grind. I dabble.
You dabble?
I dabble.
What's the brand of powder?
Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, it's good enough for a baby. It's good enough for an award-winning newsman.
Do you, when you wake up from your naps, Spiegs, are you super gamey?
No, not really. I sleep in a room. I have a ceiling fan that is constantly on.
So it's cool.
Yeah.
It's fresh.
It's very refreshing.
Very refreshing. Well, hear the break coming up on Behind the Curtain. Josh was attempting to cleanse himself, powder his area, and got his hand stuck in his own ass.
You're laughing.
Oh, well, I was thinking maybe I should apply for the medical marijuana because I had a bit of an injury this weekend in the bathroom.
And take it away.
You ever wake up and you don't know, it's usually on a weekend, you don't know if you want to shower because you might be able to get away with not showering.
Mm-hmm.
You showered the day before.
Yep.
So now there was some stickiness.
Oh.
In the upper inner thigh area, that
this comes back to medical marijuana.
Yes, yes, yes. You'll understand it all.
This bong hit will cure your rot thigh.
All right, go on. Yes.
So it
cheese nuts.
Yeah, the a little bit of sticking it, but I thought maybe I could make it through the day. Now, about an hour and a half into the morning, I thought, no, I gotta. I'm not going to take a shower because that's going to take too much effort, but I will put on powder. And I got this new powder. It's baby powder, and it's got this zinc stuff in it.
Oh.
This zinc, it's
very
almost
soothing.
Yeah. So I dropped my pants in the bathroom as my dog Farfel watched. I felt his eyes on me the whole time. And I proceeded to apply the powder to the frontal area.
Shake and bake the avocados, as it were.
And that felt great immediately.
Wow.
Then I went to the back area.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how else to say this other than just saying it, boys. My hand got stuck.
Where?
What?
Where did it
my
get
hand
stuck?
Got stuck in the envelope area.
Your hand got stuck up your own.
There was
what? Mike,
I can't even
cancel the chick from MTV. See if we can talk to her tomorrow because this takes precedent.
Well, there was apparently there was so much perspiration that it was enough to my ass became like a spider web of perspiration.
How long was it? Was it back there?
My hand?
Yeah.
About 2 seconds.
Oh, but so you went down for powder, came back out, but it held on to a little bit.
Right, right. Now, so I knew that at that point I had to take a shower.
Okay.
How long had it been since you had taken a shower?
Saturday morning, and this was Sunday morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You got that dirty? What the hell were you doing?
Yeah.
Well, his hand got stuck in his butt crack.
Just, I guess, playing and fetch with the dog.
Oh, really? Just rubbing those two Cinnabons together for 48 hours created a bit of a friction, a little bit of a hot stick, like melted Swiss.
Josh, you think that medical marijuana would
That's right. Yes. Gotcha. I think that could do something back there. Maybe limit the perspiration.
I mean, when you go to your proctologist, it's got to be like he's trying to deconstruct. He's got to deconstruct a Cuban sandwich when he gets back there. Just do one of these, like, oh, man.
I'm on record saying
A Reuben sandwich.
You know, I've gotten I had a hemorrhoid. I'm sorry if you're eating breakfast.
Sorry, Rick.
The doctor had to put his finger back there.
Oh,
and
oh my God.
He said, you're going to have to let go. You are cutting off the circulation in my finger. That's a quote.
He withdraws, looks at the nurse in stunned horror, and says, where is my class ring? And that's when she looks back at him and says, your ring? Where's your watch?
But enough about me. I don't like to divert.
I'm looking at an article here. It's called Hyperhidrosis and Medical Marijuana.
He got his hand stuck in his ass.
And hyperhidrosis is a high concentration of sweat glands that and marijuana can help. I'm literally reading it right
here.
Go, buddy.
Come on. There you are. Make it happen. Mike, bring in the weed.
And right as I thought that 2017, the year of Josh Spiegel revelations, were over, you give us another gem. And for that, I thank you. You know what? I'll have to do this real quick on Livewire because I can't describe it. But as he says, Jared, he powders because he's a hygienic gentleman, cleanliness next to godliness, and he will powder and he will apply. But much like how I just in the past couple of years started using deodorant because I basically just grew up as a swamp troll, he will then powder his back end. But we found out early on when he was powdering himself that you probably powder occasionally. Nah. All right. Well, that's disgusting. Yeah. He would powder, and I'm sorry, this has got to be a LiveWire exclusive, but he would get some powder.
Oh, my God.
And would powder like that.
Oh, no, you didn't. Well,
he would put the powder there.
Yeah.
Yes. Stop. Yes. Let's just say he was powdered
every powder.
You can't say that. How can you not say that?
I just got him. Watch it. I know. Welcome to the world of radio. It's great. Thank you, Janet.
You can't say knuckle.
Yeah, well, depends on the act of, but yeah, he really put a nice panko breading on his body.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty incredible.
Well, I didn't know I was supposed to wipe till no, not wipe.
Wait, what? Oh, hear this.
No,
hear
no, this. I'm sorry. I misspoke. I knew I was supposed to wipe, but not until I was 10 years old, and I know I was supposed to wash back there, shower.
Josh didn't shower his ass until he was 10.
Is that true? Shame?
That's absolutely true.
Because of shame?
Were you raised by wolves?
No,
like,
no.
You're like licking yourself?
They just didn't talk back
then. I was on a walk with my sisters one weekend.
Time for a cleaning.
You're talking about this with your sisters?
Well, I started saying I'm really itching. And they said, what's the problem? I explained
it's 10 years.
Rick is so pissed right now.
And I explained the problem, and they said, you got a wash back there. And I said, oh, okay, I didn't know. And that was the beginning.
You power wash these barnacles off.
Oh, wow.
All right, let me see if I can just get these two apart. All right, go ahead.
Yep.
God bless you. Bless you for everything. You're a
yeah,
gift.
Weed will definitely help that.
Yeah, the weed will help. We don't help.
Bottom line, back to the Mike, original story.
Bring in the weed.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
We all tried the Trump combo. Most of us failed at the Trump combo, except for Mike. Do we make Scott do it? The Trump combo being what our president eats. He does the two fish fillets, two Big Macs, one chocolate shake, all in one sitting. Joe and I both failed. Josh, you'll hear. I don't even want to give away if you didn't hear the break. Josh technically ate that much food, but not the actual McDonald's food.
He's
in
like,
that
I'll
city.
Do this on my terms.
Yeah. I'll substitute some stuff in that I'm still laughing about that I feel like if you not ate what you ate, you could have polished that off. No problem.
Well, it's really a situation where something else came up, literally.
He was distracted by pumpkin bread and ate half a loaf. Do we make Scott do it? Or is at that point, is it rotten on the vine?
It might be a little old. But, I mean, if he wants to, sure. You know.
Why wouldn't he want to?
I think Scott could do it.
I think he could. Yeah, he likes to eat when he really gets down. If he's had a couple of beers, he'll do
Can
it.
Can I say I thought I would be able to do it? It never occurred to me that I wouldn't.
I knew I wouldn't really? Be able to.
I genuinely just like, oh, I'll be able to do it. But I didn't come close. Here's why. I finish every McDonald's meal I ever get. And it never occurs to me that I couldn't eat another bite, which it's probably where I am. But I love Big Macs. I mean, I don't remember having a filet of fish in a while, but when I ate it, it was perfectly, you know, it was good.
It's one of Josh's favorite things there. He loves a filet of fish.
Yeah, but as soon as I ate one filet of fish, by the way, a filet of fish isn't that big.
No. Like I said, it's almost, it's a little bigger than a slider.
Yeah.
I believe a little preview, as we review this week, let's preview the next. Are we going to try the Anderson?
Oh, I'd love for you guys to try
God,
it
I wish
if you're
I was
willing.
In.
Yeah, yeah.
Point of all next yeah. week.
So describe, what's the Anderson meal?
This is my, every Tuesday I'll go to Five Guys after my leg day. It's my little present to myself, and I'll get two double bacon cheeseburgers with jalapenos, grilled onions, green peppers, mayonnaise, and extra hot sauce.
Oh.
Two of those, and then a large fry, and I'll wash it down with a Diet Coke.
And you'll finish all the food?
Oh, yeah.
There won't be crumbs of fry. It's all gone.
No, I can't help myself once I get going.
A large fry at Five Guys, though? That's like seven orders of
like
fries.
Like all four of us could split a large fry. Yes. Like when I take the kids out to Five Guys, just one up the street, we get four or five burgers and one large fry, and we never finish them. All right, this week, we're going to try it. By the way, green peppers, F them. Jalapenos, F them. Jeez. Mayonnaise, F them. Hot sauce on all that other... Oh, dude.
None of that's going to be on there.
No chance. I'm going to order exactly what he orders.
Yeah, I mean, you can do your own toppings,
you just
I guess.
Put, like ketchup, mustard, and mayo on it?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, the core there is just the two burgers and the fries. You know, you
coming
can do
up this
toppings.
Week, we try the Anderson. Last week, we tried the Donald Trump McDonald's meal. I'm behind the curtain. We're a paranoid bunch around here that if you've been a fly on the wall this morning, boy, oh boy, you know that that's never more been the case. I get this text last night from John Lauer. John Lauer, who handles a lot of our incoming emails, traffic, talks to a lot of management around here. Listen to this email and tell me why I had to be picked up off the floor afterwards. He sends me a text that says, I'm sorry. By the way, John never texts me, so this was something. I'm sorry, but I think Justin is one of our biggest assets. He's not only funny, he's awesome to work with and dedicated to the station. A couple of minutes later, oh crap, did I send that to you? Sorry, accidental text. And I'm like, what does that mean? And then he responds, because I typed him, like, can I ask what that's about? It's like, I thought you watched Curb Your Enthusiasm this week. It's the accidentally on purpose text.
Oh, that's
man,
great.
For just a few minutes, I'm walking around, my heart's beating through my ribcage.
He's happy to sell you to somebody.
Yeah.
You got to do that to somebody who doesn't watch the show.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he did that thinking that I would have picked up on it immediately, but I was already three Tito's in and didn't know my ass from a hole in the ground. So I'm like, what's happening with this? Listen, I get it. Marianne's funny, but still. Woo,
we should
boy.
Do it to Scott Reardon. He's not here.
Yeah, we should have Lauer do that to him today. I mean, the text was perfectly crafted.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Send the accidental on purpose. Yes. So getting back to our original point at hand, yesterday, Mike Anderson, you and I recapped our attempts at the McMaga meal, the Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Two Filet-O-Fish, two Big Macs, one chocolate shake, small. I tried. I failed. I made it two fish sandwiches in, half of a Big Mac. I screwed up. I slurped down the chocolate shake immediately. You actually even added fries, sweet and sour sauce to it.
Yeah, and I felt like I could have eaten another Big Mac.
Oh, my God.
I must say, at first it seemed ridiculous, but I'm like, you know what? This is not that, this is a pretty sensible meal. I'm okay with this.
McDonald's, who I love, would even tell you that's not a sensible meal. Do not eat four sandwiches and large fries.
Have a value meal with four sandwiches in it.
They need one.
So yesterday it was y'all's turn, and Joe, you put up a pretty great series of pictures about it. How'd you do?
Well, as soon as I ate the first Filet-O-Fish, I knew I was in trouble. As soon as before I even start, let me say, you know, I'm eating more than I ever have in my entire life. I was looking forward to this. I was excited. I'm not a big Filet-O-Fish fan, but I'm a huge Big Mac fan.
Okay.
So much like you, I was going to save the Big Macs for later, but then after I ate the first Filet-O-Fish, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to make this. So I definitely wanted to eat the Big Mac second, so at least I get a Big Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I ate the second Big Mac, I got maybe one or two bites into the Filet-O-Fish. I couldn't eat anymore.
Tapped out.
I felt sick.
Oh my God.
You're not a big man. I mean, you and I are pretty meager, weak men that we can't eat a ton of food.
So, what do you weigh, Joe?
Right now, I probably weigh about 195 pounds.
Whoa!
Yeah. I'm very tall.
Okay.
Yeah, he's about 5'4". So, Josh, how did you fare yesterday? You like Filet-O-Fish. You're a Filet-O-Fish
fan.
I do.
I love it a lot, and I love to eat. So I got through one Filet-O-Fish, got through two Filet-O-Fish, and a small fries. I know fries wasn't part of it, but I ate the fries. And then I got, I was going to continue, even though I was full, I was going to continue, because I'm a trooper.
Get back to the rafters.
And I got distracted by a... loaf of pumpkin bread.
What?
Immediately dove into that.
Gave it the old Allison Williams.
Yeah, I had four slices of that.
Jesus, man.
Unfortunately, could not return to the Trump challenge.
Well,
so I failed.
Like, when you say distracted by a loaf of pumpkin bread, I feel like when I get distracted by something, I didn't know it was there.
Yeah.
Were you just like, who the hell left a loaf of pumpkin bread in my living room?
It... It, I knew it was in the other room, and I started thinking about it during the Filet-O-Fish consumption.
So you just chainsawed through two sandwiches, small fry. Did you touch the shake?
They didn't have shakes.
Ah, okay, okay. So you passed on the shake, but you did make your way through half of a loaf of pumpkin bread.
Yes.
Does that, for the room, does that count? I mean, four loaves, slices of pumpkin bread. Right.
That equals a Big Mac.
That
clearly.
Is a Big Mac.
Probably
I mean,
more
that's
than that.
That's probably a
the
Big
small
Mac.
Small fry is not. It's a close. It's close. But then the without the shake, he got through about. He probably got through more than I did.
I'm
but I had
say
the shake. I drank the whole shake.
You probably could have pulled it off.
Yeah, and I would recommend that if you eat all that, don't drink Nantucket nectar, peach, orange, guava. It does not. It doesn't.
Not a good pairing?
Yeah, not a good pairing.
Ooh. Well, we all did it. Some of us succeeded. Some of us didn't.
That's
we encourage you
person,
to try.
Right?
I mean, Mike did it. Josh got by on a technicality. I feel like he could have. He ate a half a loaf of pumpkin bread.
Next week, we do the Anderson combo.
Yeah. What's the Anderson combo?
Two double bacon cheeseburgers at Five Guys with a large fry and a Diet Coke.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So you hear coming up on Behind the Curtain on Wednesday, I had to take what I like to call the back way through town, where I'll take the bridge, I'll go through Dundalk, and I'll drive down Hollabird to Boston or whatever, because I needed to stop by Jimmy's on the way into town. And as I'm coming in, and I'm in a red light, it looked like someone was going to try and like sneak up and get into my car. I saw a guy, you'll hear me tell the story coming up, a guy pops out from between two cars, he gets real, real low. And I was thinking in the days to come, because we are here live right now, and this is not being recorded the same day we talked about it. I got to wonder, could I have taken his ass? Because he was not big.
It doesn't matter. That's
not
what's important.
He was a thin, tiny, blonde, squirrely-looking, methy white guy.
That's not Joe Robinson here also coming in.
Hi, Joe.
On,
it was Joe sneaking up to my car.
Yes. You don't worry about necessarily any physical harm. You worry about, I mean, listen... Most likely, if they're doing
AIDS
that,
bite.
It's right. It's desperation.
He's got a razor.
Usually, is drug induced.
Yeah, they've all got blades.
So you worry about what might happen. Either what they're willing to do violently to you with something other than their fists, or you know what you might catch if they decide to you know stick you with a needle or a bite you or whatever.
Well, with that said, though, you got to understand you're not talking to a normal John Q. Public here. You're talking to a reluctant dad. That I kind of want a hero scenario that maybe I bleed out on the street so I don't have to go home later with like seven kids and a $400 BG&E bill because someone can't turn their switch off.
I might have told this story before, but when I used to work nights here, I used to leave down Falls Road. And if you've spent some time on Falls Road, you know...
God's country.
That every once in a while, there's a prostitute walking down that road. And they don't look like Julia Roberts from Pretty Woman. They're usually wearing an NFL Jets starter jacket or something like that. And they have about four teeth, and they wave as you go by. And I was always scared of them.
Mm-hmm.
But one time it was the light where the Rite Aid in the subway is, right? Is the Rite Aid still there? Doesn't matter. The subway is. And I was just sitting at the light, and I hear, took off right through the light.
Damn.
One of them, yeah.
It was one of them.
Yeah. One of them.
Do you
knocked.
Know that person's name was Helen?
But really?
Yep.
She wears
she had
the
a particular,
Jets starter
her name
jacket?
Was this Helen. I'm not kidding you. That was her name. She was a legend around here.
Well, if I'd known that.
For a Lincoln, for a stinking Lincoln,
yeah.
You'd head out back at that sub shop and shazam, and next thing you know, and I think she turned up dead one winter. Coming up, I was almost carjacked downtown and ran a red light. Last week, we discussed me going to a concert, The Descendants. Haven't been to a concert, you know, outside of station stuff in forever. I don't like concerts. I feel like the songs that I'm going to hear.
Oh, I got you.
There was a myriad of reasons. Let me give you some of the reasons that I didn't want to go to a concert. But I love this band. It's my brother's favorite band. They're called The Descendants. I bought a hoodie. You can see me wearing it right now. And I love the band Face to Face. I saw them years and years ago, and they were great. I saw the band Pennywise, who I also loved years before that, terrible. And
they're
it
bad.
Almost ruined the band Pennywise for me. But then it's a punk rock show, so you smell people. You're all wedged in there. It sucks. You got to pay $80 for a beer. Parking's a nightmare. Whatever. It ended up being a damn fine time at the end of the night. Thank you to Sid. Thank you to Jeff. Thank you to Brandon, all the people at Ramshead Live in Baltimore. We did two of our uncensored. They made that night so great for me and my brother and everybody in attendance. The show was great. The band killed it. No one there smelled too terribly bad. Ran into a couple listeners. A lot of my fears were subsided pretty quickly. One that didn't, and I didn't even really think about this. The Descendants are so old at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you don't think about that.
The last time I saw them was in like 96. They all look to be just a chest hair shy of 70. And Milo, the lead singer, he's moving around. He's got some oomph. But the guitarist and the bassist, man, they are so old. And I'm thinking, like, why am I watching Keith Mills on stage strum away at the guitar? These are like guys that Keith Mills would be the spry fella in the group if he was hanging out with them. And it just sort of made me feel very old. One of my favorite bands of all time. If you looked out on the street, you might, you know, open the door for them and help them into their booth at the Denny's because they look frail and fragile. So I felt old. Beyond that, it was great. But then my brother and I, we do what we do, and that's get to the drinking. And I have myself a couple of drinks, a couple turns into a couple more. And I say, Pat, you got to drive, brother. You got to be my ride tonight. So we leave. We go across the street. Shout out to everybody at PBR downtown. Got to see beautiful Angie. Oh, just a vision. Our good buddy Brian, all the good folks at PBR upstairs. And they start pouring drinks into my brother. So all of a sudden, my designated driver is no longer able to designatedly drive. And we stumble and bumble back to the parking garage where we sit down in the car. He looks at me. Can you drive? No. Can you drive? No. So it's just going to be two dudes sitting in a parking garage. Now, there's a photo at JSS98 Rock that coincides with this story. So as we're sitting in the car saying, hey, you and I just might need to sleep for a couple of hours in this car. Should have taken a lift. I'm sitting in the car and Pat ain't feeling good. So I root around in my center console looking for Excedrin. There's Excedrin in there. But what else in there is a taser. And it was the taser that we were gifted by Taser Plus, I believe, Michael.
Yes, fine folks at Taser.
Yes, thank you so much to Taser. So I pull this thing out and show my brother, hey, man, check this out. Did you ever see we got a taser? I fire it off. The damn thing ignites in the car. The prongs shoot out. One of them blows out my dome light. The other launches itself into the ceiling. The car lights up like a 4th of July Christmas display.
Like the electricity wall?
I tased my own car. The lights are firing off, and to turn the taser off, you have to turn the safety off and depress the trigger. Yeah. My dumb hand can't figure the damn thing out. It's just I'm in the car screaming, I can't turn it off! I can't turn it off!
Oh, my God!
This taser is firing off. The lights and everything get my brother sick, and immediately all over my steering wheel. Just yaks.
Man.
All over my steering wheel.
So I'm tasing my own car. My brother's puking on the steering wheel. And the car just reeks. I've ruined my dome light. The dashboard does not work now. I just sent like courses of electricity through my vehicle. So I don't know where you were at 1:30 a.m. Friday night, Saturday morning, Joshua, probably slumbered in bed with a beautiful dog.
Oh, I was sleeping.
But I was tasing my own vehicle while watching my brother turn into a puke fountain.
I wonder if that's ever happened.
The car was drivable after that?
Yeah, we ended up getting out of the car, taking a brisk walk. I ended up paying God knows how much to walk up to a hotel and be like, I can't, I have to stay with you tonight. I just handed a hotel, I won't say where, but I handed a hotel, like, I need a room for the night. So we stayed the night, wake back up, get back into my car. And my head is pounding, and the car smells like a grave. It smells like an exhumed body, and I'm looking at the damage, and my dome light's blown out, and the damn dashboard's like flickering from the thousands of volts that I've sent through it. After I was like, oh man, isn't this cool? They sent us tasers. Damn it! Yeah, so...
What do you think was going to happen when you pulled the trigger? Do you think there was just going to be like a jolt of electricity? Did you know it was going to shoot out?
Didn't mean to pull the trigger.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I was just, again, my dumb Waldorf hands.
Is it easy to pull?
Super light trigger.
Okay.
Very, very easy to pull. So yeah, I tased my own car. My brother threw up all over the dashboard. I think I paid $400 to stay in a one-star hotel.
And what about, what happened to the car now?
He threw it away.
I threw the car away. The car's gone. I'm getting a detail today.
Oh, today.
Yes, I'm getting it detailed. I'm writing a very long apology letter to the folks that are detailing it. Shout out Chuck from Diamond Detail. Then I'm taking it to the good phones at Jones Junction, which will hopefully be able to repair my dome light. And I'm leaving that taser at home because I shouldn't have things like that anymore because I'm not good at them.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
All right, let's get behind the curtain here. We got to talk to an astronaut, Scott Kelly. And we'll get behind the curtain here with how these interviews are sometimes set up and the breakdown that are presented to us. Like, what do you call that stuff, Mike? The little cheat sheet? The little prep?
Oh, yeah, just the one sheet.
The one sheet on these guys. Like, yeah, I mean, obviously, this is a guy spent the most time on the International Space Station.
So points of interest, so you know what to talk about.
Oh, yeah, you know the guy's an astronaut, and the guy spent all this time in space, and, you know, he's an American hero, yada, yada. But then you see this guy's one sheet, and at the bottom of it, and I circled this during...
Yeah.
I circled this during the interview yesterday and slid it across to Josh with a big question mark next to it. It said, incredible storyteller.
Okay.
And he wasn't. I'll just say it. The guy's done some fascinating stuff. I bet the book is great. He's an American hero. That doesn't mean you automatically can spin a Mark Twain quality yarn.
Now, I wasn't here for that interview. Did he attempt to tell a story?
He attempted some jokes.
Yeah, he was... The jokes, you know, it reminded me of an old person in the family trying to tell a joke at the Thanksgiving dinner. And it was very dry. And then at the end of his delivery, there'd be silence, and he said, that was a joke. So if you have to explain, isn't it when you have to explain a joke, it's not
if a joke? You knew it was a joke, yeah. Did you not know it was a joke?
No, we didn't know.
Okay.
And I want you, the listener, try and play along in the interview you'll hear coming up. Try and guess when the joke hits that we're like, oh, that was a joke.
You did know it was a joke. Would you have fake laughed?
Yeah, I would have fake laughed.
I
fake
probably
laugh a lot around here.
Would not have. I would not have fake laughed.
I would have done him the courtesy as an American
an
hero
Josh.
At fake laughing at him. By the way, I don't know how tall this guy is, and that plays into the joke. I don't know how
it's
tall.
It's a visual.
He is. It's a visual joke, and I'm on the phone with him, and I don't know how tall he is. And I'm just thinking, like Josh said. I mean, there's dry, and then there is weak old scone dry.
So basically, you hate this guy.
Oh, I love him.
I'm just kidding.
Fascinated with this guy's life, but don't. PR person hand me, and this is not on him, this is on his PR people, handing us this copy that says, man, this guy's a cut up. Wait till you hear this guy tell this tall tale. He really runs the room. And then
it's like I'm on the phone with IT trying to walk me through why I can't access the C drive. So hear it now. We got to talk to an astronaut on Behind the Curtain. Good morning, Justin Scott and Spiegel on the flagship station of your Baltimore Ravens, 98 Rock. Joining us on the phone, the book is Endurance, A Year in Space, A Lifetime of Discovery. Astronaut Scott Kelly, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You have the distinction of being just the longest run in space. I'm so fascinated by this. You're talking to a guy here. I'm a big sci-fi fan. I'm chomping at the bit for a new Star Wars film. Whenever there's anything going on with the Hubble telescope or any movement with NASA, by the way, they're big fans of our show. I'm just fascinated with space exploration. And to get to talk to you, a true American hero, a record-breaking year aboard the International Space Station, I'm just so fascinated with it. Do you yourself look at yourself as such a unique individual, an American hero, someone that's gotten to do something that no one else ever has done and might not again for quite some time?
Yes. Actually, no, I'm kidding.
Okay, I'm like, whoa, yeah, this guy's, he's self-aware.
No, actually, I don't know. I kind of look at myself as like an average guy doing a slightly above average job. And, you know, I think my book that I wrote will, you know, let people believe that. You know, I was a kid that couldn't do his homework, couldn't pay attention, did poorly in school, was doing poorly in college, discovered the book The Right Stuff by Tom Wolfe, which, you know, motivated me that I could do more and maybe even fly in space someday. And that book inspired me. And, you know, hopefully my book can inspire others that maybe they can reach beyond what they think is possible.
Being one of a few people who've been to space, what is something you believe that people who have not been to space might think is crazy?
What do you mean, like aliens and stuff?
I didn't say that, but you did.
What?
Gotcha!
Oh, yeah, we backed you into a corner with that one.
Now, whatever you want. It could be aliens, I mean, anything.
So what do I believe by being in space that other people would think is crazy? Well, you know, actually there's some people, you know, that I think are, you know, the type of folks that, like, deny science and, you know, deny, like, climate change. And I think it's pretty clear we pollute the Earth at a pretty massive scale. And you could see that from space. You know, I don't know what other people think, but I know there are people that are just complete deniers of, you know, science and the experts on climate change, which is whether you would characterize it as crazy or not, I don't know, but kind of hard for me to believe.
But what are some of the biggest misconceptions or myths versus facts you hear if, you know, you spend so much time in space the way that you did aboard the International Space Station? Your bones will become brittle. You'll show back up at Earth, and you'll be a foot taller because, you know, your body will elongate in space, or you're hypersensitive to light. What are some of the myths versus the facts on how it affects you physically once you return to Earth?
You know, there are a lot of negative effects on your physiology the longer you've been up there. Yeah, one myth, though, a big myth for me being there, was there was a story about how I grew 2 inches. People thought, like, for some reason, I guess other than the fact that my spine elongated, I actually physically got taller, like as if space makes you grow. The reality of it was I stretched like an inch and a half, and as soon as I got back down on Earth, I was my same old 6'6".
Now, did you have any scary
experiences?
Yes, we were laughing. Did you have any scary experiences in space?
Well, you know, launching into space is definitely something that gets your attention. To describe it as scary, I'm not sure I would say it's scary, but it's something you think about. You think about your mortality and how, you know, this experience could kill you. You know, most of the time, my concern and being worried, maybe a little bit scared, was when there was potential for stuff to happen to my family on Earth. And, you know, I experienced that in a very real way when my sister-in-law, Gabby Giffords, was shot, Arizona congresswoman. and I had a few months left on the International Space Station. So my concern was always that something was going to happen to my family on Earth, and I would have no way to get home to be there with them.
Again, we're talking to Scott Kelly. The book is Endurance, A Year in Space, A Lifetime of Discovery. And what's your thoughts on the condition of our current space program, both in regards to the government's interest or disinterest in it, Elon Musk and the SpaceX program? When you were a younger man, did you think we'd be farther along in maybe space colonization, maybe moon habitats, maybe even a visit to Mars than we are right now? Or do you think we're exactly where we should be? Where would you like to see the space program, Scott Kelly?
All right. Well, that's a lot of questions in one, but...
answer all of them.
when I became an astronaut, I thought my class of astronauts in 1996 was going to Mars, and you know, clearly we're not. And that was, over 20 years ago now. So, you know, Mars is something that we can do if we choose to do it. It's more about the political science than the rocket science. You know, NASA gets bipartisan support, which is nice. You know, and I think NASA appreciates that. But at the same time, we are often asked to change direction, to change plans when a new administration comes into, you know, the executive branch of government. And that, you know, just causes setbacks and delays. You know, I understand that our country has a lot of issues that require a lot of money. I think space flight is a great investment for our future. I think we should be spending more money than we currently do. How much more? I don't know. I'm not really an expert on that. But, I think, consistent funding and a consistent plan over long periods of time is really what's going to be required for NASA to achieve, you know, whatever goals and aspirations we give this government agency that is not only very important to our country, but also important to the rest of the planet.
And to kind of piggyback Josh's earlier question of, you know, weird stuff, crazy stuff out there in space, was there any, you know, phenomena out there that you might have been, you know, had some downtime, you were able to sort of stargaze a little bit that you saw or experienced anything? And I'm not just, you know, talking aliens, anything like that, but, you know, flashes of light, streaks of color, anything like that, some sort of... physics phenomenon out in space that you said to yourself, wow, that's going to be difficult to explain if I could even put it into words.
Nothing that I could never explain. No, you know, occasionally you see some satellite or a star or something that looked like it wasn't moving as it should. And then you would realize you were just looking at it through the lens of the atmosphere, you know, through the limb of the Earth. And as soon as it cleared, you know, that little band of atmosphere, it started looking normal again. So, yeah, you know, sometimes you see something, you think, wow, that's weird looking, but then you figure out what it is.
And, like, an experience that you had where you spent so long in space, you know, one of the few people to ever do it, does that make travel on Earth just seem that much less impressive? Like, you know, I hope to one day get to visit the, you know, like, Japan, or get to go to England, or get to go to South America. You've been to space, man. Like, at this point, is like going to Madrid or going to Moscow or Buenos Aires, does it impact you less considering what you've gotten to do compared to most people?
You know, I put it all in perspective. It would have been nice, though, had I gotten those frequent flyer miles, the 240 million I've flown.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
Rack them up.
I don't accumulate them as quickly anymore.
They should just give those to you for being an American hero.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to pay for flights anymore. They got Scott Kelly, the man that spent a record-breaking year aboard the ISS. And, man, I cannot wait. We have a copy of the book. This man should never have to pay for a flight again in his life. He's an American hero. And the book is Endurance, A Year in Space, A Lifetime of Discovery. Scott, we really appreciate you joining us this morning, sir. This is fascinating, and I can't wait to read the book.
Thank you.
Take care, sir.
You hear that last part?
Yeah. What was that?
It sounded like some sort of being that was directing Scott about what to say.
How do we even know we were talking to Scott? We weren't looking at him. I heard interference.
Yeah. Maybe we were talking to an alien.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
The hay is in the barn, or is the butter on the biscuit? The question that we asked earlier in the week, JJ I-95 tomorrow is going to join Stan White and Jerry Sandusky in the booth, the final four Ravens that's going to join those two. They did sort of a rotating cast of characters this season. And we tried to come up with a catchphrase for JJ because of the four guys that are in there, you know, Pitt is a bit of a scamp, but Heap and Forsett are as buttoned up as can be. JJ's going to be the one that breaks from script. And Mike, you're going to have a ringside seat to it.
I'm kind of nervous, to be honest. After he said, I think you'll hear up in this clip coming up here that he's going to, you know, just do whatever and essentially try to get fired.
Yeah. Somebody suggested he should scream out, smack a lady's ass, that's a hell of a play, and then shove a wig on Stan and touch his ass.
Well, you know, before, when we first said the idea of the catchphrase, and I don't even remember, you'll guess we'll hear it in the clip, whose idea it was to kind of upstage Jerry. That was the idea.
Oh, it was JJ's idea. I remember he wanted to cut Jerry off in the middle of Hayes in the Barn.
Well, I started because I was jokingly said, you know, Jerry loves when you tag his Hay in the Barn catchphrase, and that's kind of where it spiraled out of control.
But
and
you had the first catchphrase when we said, what should it be? And I liked it. Now, obviously, that butters my biscuit, I believe, is the superior. But do you remember what your first idea was?
Time to put the ketchup on the hot dog.
Yeah, I liked it.
I think I took that from somewhere. I'm not sure where.
I stole it.
What's yours, Josh?
The China's in the cabinet.
Oh, nice.
Whoa. Yeah, okay, classing it up a little.
Yeah, it's expensive, it's worthwhile, and who doesn't love China in a cabinet? Jared Johnson, he's going to be broadcasting tomorrow with the Baltimore Ravens in the evening as they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. See how many times he squeezes in the word biscuit during the broadcast.
Jared Johnson hanging out. Buddy, hop back on, join us. Hey, you're going to be at... You doing McFalls tonight? You hanging out?
No, we're doing
McFalls. Yes,
we are doing you
and I. Yes. Doing McFalls tonight. Get some of them pork bites.
Oh, my God.
Yes. You, me, I-83, hanging out.
He's definitely going to be there.
He'll definitely
be there.
I saw
him yesterday.
Yep. Know where you live. Ah, man. So how long are you in town for?
So I'm here until Thursday, actually. I got a big week. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So I got in Saturday. Why is it funny?
Well, no, I was thinking of something else.
I wasn't thinking of something else.
So what's your big week?
I went to the game, obviously, yesterday. My wife was in town. It was great.
Nice.
And got to see a lot of former players. Okay. Dalius Thomas was there. J.O. was there. Have you seen J.O., by the way?
No.
He's thin, like 300 right? pounds, which is very light for him.
Yeah, Ogden's like slimmed out.
He looks great.
Did I tell you the story that... I feel so bad because Ogden, you know, we absolutely, absolutely love you. So I'm broadcasting alongside Kirk Ravens Walk. I'm doing tailgate stuff. What are you eating? What are you drinking? Give me game day prediction. I'm too dumb for X's and O's. Kirk's up there doing all the analytics.
Right.
Jonathan Ogden joins him each time and they ferry the players around in a golf cart. It's usually one of those big, like they call it like the John Deere, like the Mongoose. Yeah, it's like six wheels on it. They can haul equipment. Well, I guess that day they just had... Like one that you'd see at Paint Branch Golf Course.
Right.
You could lift this thing over your head.
Right.
And you just hear, like, coming up from behind the broadcast booth. This golf cart pulls up. Ogden is so big that the wheel well is just on the tire.
Right.
And it's just grinding the wheel well around. This poor guy who's trying to drive it is like driving it just completely cockeyed, grinding the tire away. He's ripping out that panel. And you just hear Ogden get out like, I'm sorry, man. I'll buy a new one.
He's like wearing this golf cart.
Yeah, he took the thing off like a shirt.
Yeah,
like an Under Armour moisture wicking shirt.
Picked
he takes it,
up. It
off. Yes. Where do you need this, fellas? I'll launch it over here. So, you are now going to be up in the booth.
I'm in the booth, man.
And your worst fears subsided. This team has got plenty to play for.
This is great. Going into Pittsburgh.
Three divisional matchups, man. You got Pittsburgh, you got Cleveland, and then
we got the Colts,
and then Bengals.
And then Bengals, that's right. So, I don't know, man. I'm excited. I don't really know what to expect. I've had very little booth time. I did one in the preseason game for like 5 minutes with Brian Billick and Jerry. And
well, this is the guy to talk to you right here, Mike. I mean, Mike Anderson, you're in studio, game day super producer. Yeah, you're in there with, you've been in there with Heap. You've been in there with Pitta. You've been in there just yesterday with Forsett. Like, what's...
Yeah, give me some do's and
don'ts. What do you not do?
Well,
right?
I'll tell you, first thing, don't let Stan White bully you. Okay? Because he another football player goes in there, and he feels like he has to alpha the booth. Don't let that happen.
He will try and crawl up on your shoulders. Right?
Smack.
So first thing I do when
hand.
I walk in the booth is punch him directly in the throat.
Just right in the throat.
Right in the throat. This is my booth. Stan, own this.
Yes, that's it. Just immediately. This is how, okay, I'm going to get you a boom box, and you're walking into this.
Broadcast.
Walk in immediately to Stone Cold
Steam.
Don't let
him intimidate. But I mean, really, just be yourself. I mean, that's the best advice for any
no
kind
swearing,
of
no swearing. No swearing.
Okay. Is it true you don't look Jerry Sandusky directly in the eyes? Is that true?
That's true.
Yeah, do
heads
not make
down
eye contact.
When Jerry enters the booth. Heads down.
Heads down. Everyone in there, it is eyes on the floor. You do not look Sandusky in the eyes because he will have you under his spell. Boy, is he... He'll sweep you up. He'll sweep you up. You stare into those baby blues of his. You're not going to be paying attention to what's
on the
field.
I dare you to say the hay is in the barn
before
him.
I was about to say, Joe,
I dare you.
He loves when you tag that with another catchy phrase.
What if I said it after the first quarter?
The
opening drive, we go down, score a touchdown, hay's in the barn.
See, after the first field goal, they're up 3-0.
And the hay's in the barn. He's like, mother!
Yes, he come up with your own catchphrase.
But it's
okay. Hold
like
on,
it.
Let's do that right now.
Okay.
What is a
is
super corny, like super corny?
All right, what do we come up? What's your get ready to rumble? What's your haze in the barn?
Yeah.
All right.
The ketchup's creative on the hot dog.
Oh, that's a good one.
What is that?
That's a good one. The ketchup's on the hot dog.
The ketchup's on the hot dog.
Yeah.
All right, yes.
The butter is on the biscuit.
All right, guys, the butter's on the biscuit.
We've buttered that biscuit, baby.
We just buttered that biscuit.
A t-shirt that says that on it. The butter's on the biscuit.
The butter's on the biscuit.
You're handing them out. Oh.
All right, the Ravens over the Pittsburgh Steelers, 30-12. The hay is in the bar, and the butter's on the biscuit. That will send him to Mercy Medical.
His catchphrase, and I just come over the top router.
Right on time. Oh, yeah, okay. We'll do it right now. Here we are. And the Pittsburgh Steelers fall to your Baltimore Ravens, 30-12, and the hay
the butter's on the biscuit.
Damn it! Damn it! Damn it! Damn it!
I wonder if Jared would be fired if he did that. It'd be tough to get Jared fired.
Oh,
right?
I was going
to
say, does Jared get the heave-ho?
Yeah, can you do
do you give I-95 the heave-ho?
Oh, that'd be so
No, actually, you're fired.
Yes.
They blame us.
Yeah,
we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, we understand Justin Scott Spiegel and Joe gave him that to say.
You encouraged it.
All right, I like that. Yes, the butter is on
the biscuit.
Listen, you don't have to make it your go-to, but if you can somehow sneak in... That really butters my biscuit. I want you to sneak in so many like Southern soliloquies.
Oh yeah,
like I don't know, something about hair on a bullfrog's ass.
Oh yeah,
something about that's a tightly
all the stuff
wound,
that Shannon Sharp says.
That's a tightly wound banjo or something.
Tighter than Dick's hatband.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you heard that one?
No.
What? Does that make sense?
None of it does.
Tighter than Dick's hatband.
Another thing, JJ, you have to worry about is fans coming up to the booth.
No way.
And trying to talk to you during a broadcast. Get ready defense on that. Yeah. And not only that, yesterday with Justin Forsett in the booth, Jacoby Jones was the legend of the game. Came
right
on the field. So I guess people assume that Jacoby was doing the broadcast. The guy brings a Jacoby Jones jersey up to Forsett and asks him to sign it during the broadcast.
Yeah, they're going to crawl in like walkers from The Walking Dead and someone left the door open and just the unwashed masses are going to pour in there. I mean, what happened when Pitta was in there? That hot fresh slice?
Dude,
that tender stack
of sex? Hold on. We had this conversation yesterday because I was walking around with Heap, Pitta, and Heap's little entourage, okay?
Yeah.
And these guys are all, you know, 30 to 45-year-old, good-looking, successful
Jay
dudes.
Crew ad.
Oh, yeah, just look great. And then there's me. And we were talking about, I had just seen a Kelly Gregg jersey. And every time I see a Kelly Gregg jersey, I take a picture of it, and I send it to this text group I have with a bunch of the D-line I used to play with.
Yeah.
And we make fun of Kelly.
Okay.
But you can totally stereotype the type of people that wear my jersey and specifically Kelly Gregg jerseys.
Okay.
You know, usually construction worker. Kelly always gets the shorter, fat, white guy, the one that looks like
you him. See an I-95 jersey the night before they just got done with the GED graduation ceremony.
Exactly.
Someone has cut their hair with a lighter.
Right.
And someone that they're a blood relative with said,
right,
you're the best kisser.
But I'm walking around with Todd Heap, Dennis Pitta. And what type of clientele does he do they attract?
Oh, man.
I mean, teeny boppers were coming from everywhere to take pictures.
Really?
Oh, dude, like, everywhere. It was crazy.
Did you not get to see Mr. Dennis Pitta?
I really wanted to see her really bad.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Okay, hey, by the way, at JSS98 Rock, we're going to take a break. We're going to do some news with Josh. When we come back, the suggestions for your catchphrase are pouring in.
Are they?
At JSS98 Rock. I want to hear everyone's suggested catchphrase. Jerry has the hay is in the barn. Kadri had...
Kadri had one?
Yeah.
What was his?
I'll bet
break
it was super
cool.
Break
out the crab cakes, let's eat.
What
break
is
out
it?
The, break out the crab cakes, let's eat.
Yep.
That was
my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I happen to love it.
Wow, that's super original.
410-338-1098. Kadri, I loved it. Whenever you said it, I broke out crab cakes.
That's what Maryland does.
Crab cakes and football. Jared Johnson, I-95, joining us in studio. We're really enjoying the biscuit-based stuff.
Pretty good, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Here's another one here. And man, oh, man, this is an absolute tidal wave of raw suck. Here we are. Hang that W on the wall or shut it down. Turn out the lights. The bar is closed.
That's one whole
thing. That's a whole thing.
No way I'm getting through all that.
Don, I expect better out of you. Here's another one.
I'm surprised there was enough characters to fit that in there.
Thank God they have the new 280 limit. Kai Sanderson says, JJ, chew this one on. Bend me over and spank my ass. That was a great play.
Pretty
no,
good.
No, no, don't say,
not
say
saying
that.
That.
That's great.
It's funny.
But don't say that. Man, this is... Okay. Oh, here we go. Steven, you're getting it. You gotta risk it for the biscuit.
Yes! That is it.
That's great.
That is it.
That's when they do a fake punt or something.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like some flea flicker or something like that. They go for two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You gotta risk it for the biscuit. I'm going to favorite that one. Michael,
nicely done, sir.
You give him a prize. In a moment of excitement during a game, Jared, just yell, Snapdragon. What the does that mean?
I like it.
I like it. Oh, Chris Brown, here we go. Getting nice and saucy. Hey, if that don't light your fire, your wood must be wet.
Nah. A little wordy. A little wordy.
Refer to every sack as getting JJ'd. How about that? That's a big thumbs down from JJ.
Yeah, he's not going to.
Here's someone that knows you. Ooh, and the fish is on the line.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to wow us at this
point.
We got
to stick with the biscuit base.
Not sure
if it's not something about a biscuit, I mean, we're not using it.
Not sure why this guy hates this state so much, but all right, South Carolina.
I don't know what that means.
Do you hate South Carolina for some reason?
I've only been there once.
Why does
maybe twice.
Maybe as you've driven through, this guy just wants you to scream out at the top of your lungs, yes, South Carolina. Charleston can kiss my ass.
Woo!
All right. And there we go. The powder is in the butt.
Oh, nice.
Little nod to Josh Spiegel.
And the hand is stuck.
And the hand is wedged between the biscuits. And the hand is in the biscuits.
I cannot remove the hand from the biscuit.
Oh, yes. All right, let's go to the phones here real quick, see what you have to say. 410-338-1098. We'll try some of these on for size as Jared Johnson joins Stan White, joins Jerry Sandusky in the booth. I believe that is another Sunday game coming up on the road, 8:30 game, am I correct? Is that a Saturday game?
This Saturday weekend? It's the 23rd, so this weekend is
okay.
A Sunday.
This
right?
is a Sunday game. All right, let's go to the phones
here. The Pittsburgh
here.
Game? Sunday night.
That's Sunday night?
Sunday night football.
Here we go. Let's go to Blind Mike. On line one, Blind Mike, What's Jared Johnson's in-booth catchphrase?
First of all, I want to say hi to JJ. It's one of my favorite Ravens of all time.
Here, man, appreciate it.
The number
good
one player of all time in the organization. Build him a statue.
You could do one of two things. You could do the blind guy fell in the manhole cover, or the blind guy found the biscuit. How about that?
Just something to do with a blind person. I might feel a little... Like, why are you talking about blind?
Kind of like when you say like a blind hog found an acorn.
Yes,
you're saying a blind guy found a biscuit.
Yes, even a blind squirrel can find a biscuit. Take existing catchphrases.
Yeah, just a biscuit in there.
A bird, a biscuit in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Well, what you talking about, biscuit?
What you talking about, biscuit? Well, look what we have here. The biscuit is on the other foot. I just want you to take existing catchphrases. Josh, you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't chew his biscuit twice. Oh, yes.
Don't biscuit where you eat.
Don't biscuit off the company, Pierre. Don't biscuit off the company's biscuit. Jared, yes, please. I have a feeling these last four games, as meaningful as they are on the field, the games are going to be great. I love Heap. I love Pitta. Justin Forsett's one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. These last four games are probably going to go down
in
history as some of the best.
My goal should be that they fire me after the first game.
Here.
And when somebody asks, why did they fire JJ after only one game,
because
they have to say, he wouldn't stop saying biscuit. He said biscuit 47 times.
We had to talk to him about his use of biscuits.
And it will be interesting if they don't hear this break and, you know, JJ goes to the bathroom. Like, why won't he stop talking about biscuits?
What happened with biscuits?
He has an obsession with biscuits.
One trick pony.
Did they own a bakery? Did his family own a bakery?
Does his family own, like, a small diner where they do, like, a biscuit and gravy sandwich or something? Does he have head trauma? Was his parents killed by a biscuit? Is he Biscuit Man?
Where is the money?
Yes, you're Biscuit Man.
You even like biscuits? You do, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
like a biscuit.
All right.
Yeah.
We got a couple more in right now. Hey, sack up or back up? It's not biscuit base.
It's out.
Suggs just ate that quarterback like a biscuit.
There we go.
And the bodies are in the bay.
Nah.
That's just dark. Whoever wins gets the golden biscuit.
Yeah, that's going down.
All right. The biscuit is in the gravy.
No.
Those biscuit balls are Old Bay.
No.
Biscuits and crab cakes, that's what Maryland does. Oh, yes.
It would be good to give, you know, the golden biscuit to the guy whoever had the best game, much like Madden does or whatever did during the...
Yes, like he hands him
like without Jerry's consent. Like I'm just gonna like
you just Joel,
and today we're giving the golden biscuit to Joe Flacco.
Oh yes, wait a minute.
Wait, golden biscuit.
Wait, what?
Shut up, Jerry. He's getting the biscuit. Okay.
Yeah. Look,
he's getting the biscuit.
He earned
it,
guys. Jared came in and he spray painted a biscuit gold. He's drunk. He is moonshine drunk. He's spray painting biscuits gold. Guys, that Triscuit. Bring me a biscuit. Biscuit 95 joins you in the booth.